You know, I was talking to a Jewish man the other day at the Republican State Central Committee, and he said, you know, you're saying some things that are parallel to Nick Fuentes and the Groyper movement. And my response to him was, well, what does the Jewish community plan to do about Nick Fuentes and the Groyper movement? What is the plan? What is the strategy? Is your strategy just to call them all anti-Semitic and say they're ridiculous and write them off as not something to contend with? Because if you do that, you're making the same mistake that many people made about President Trump and the MAGA movement not too long ago. Just to write it off as ridiculous. Okay?
So what do you suggest?
My suggestion is to listen to the things that they're saying and be able to parse out what's true and what's not.
How do you know what's true and what's not?
Discernment.
And but research and
historical
reporting.
Fact. Yeah, there's a lot of ways there's epistemological ways to decipher truth, what is and what isn't. But
I'm a classic reporting guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, here's what I think about, again, the term, the Jewish identity. It's used in the same way the black identity is used. And you can't even say certain things like, I was outside of the Federal Reserve. This guy took exception to me saying that there were Jewish elites that ran the Fed. And there were publicly admitted Jewish elites that have recently run the Fed. Janet Yellen, Ben Bernanke, a couple of others.
So that person being offended was he shouldn't have felt offended?
Well, I think it's part of a bigger cultural crisis of identity politics being used in a bait and switch to stifle conversation about necessary issues. In this case, Israel, our foreign policy, a sort of Jewish protected class where you can't criticize anything that Jewish people do or even mention anything Jewish people do as a community. Same thing I said about the Somali community. If a Somali man robs a bank, I can say he was a Somali man. If
sure.
a black man robs a bank, you can say he was a black man.
Yeah, but I don't.
If a Jewish man robs a bank, you can say he was a Jewish man, but you can't.
Well, no, but
you can say a black man or a Somali man, but you can't say he was Jewish.
But I think there's a difference between saying a Somali person stole and then paint the whole broad brush and say Somali people are garbage. I mean,
that's not what I'm saying.
There's a difference, though.
What I'm saying is that you can't say that a few Jewish elites ran the Fed, because to say there are Jewish elites is supposedly a dog whistle to an anti-Semitic trope. And that's just a non-starter. There are Jewish elites in this country. There are Jewish elites in the world. There is a Jewish lobby. There are Jewish people who are not loyal to this country. Hell, there are Jewish people who aren't really even loyal to Israel, depending on how you look at their political actions and participation. There are Jewish people who are loyal to nothing but themselves, same as any other race of people on the face of the planet. But for some reason, if you say it about Jewish people, then you're automatically anti-Semitic. And that's what they're throwing on Marjorie Taylor Greene, or they have thrown on Marjorie Taylor Greene. They've thrown it on President Trump at times. Recently, they've thrown it on Steve Bannon and others of the War Room Posse. They've thrown it on me as much as they possibly could. And it's created a rift in the Republican Party and in the conservative movement, because such a big piece of the Republican Party or the conservative base are evangelical Christians who carry the same sort of belief about the Israel conversation. And I think that it's just completely dishonest. There are black elites. If I say Barack Obama is a black elite, he is. And it's funny, we talk in the black community, we talk about black excellence the same way I said about a few other communities, but we hold up our identity when we talk about our success. But if we talk about the failures of an identity or a demographic or a race of people, all of a sudden it's racism or anti-Semitism. The Jewish people in this country have failed to stand up in the conversation about the history of the Jewish people, Israel, and the current political, let's say, correctness in a way that's honest. And because of that, they are responsible for the rise of the Nick Fuentes and Groyper movement. The Nick Fuentes of the world wouldn't be able to point out the contradictions that he can had it not been a bunch of Jewish people in this country refuse to stand up and say, don't use my identity that
way. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Able to point out the contradictions that he can, had it not been a bunch of Jewish people in this country refuse to stand up and say, don't use my identity that way. Don't play fast and loose with my Jewish identity to perpetuate forever wars in the Middle East or to stifle a conversation about the influence of political lobbies, like, let's say, AIPAC in American politics. And every time a Jewish person fails to, do that, they are adding ammunition. They are lending ammunition to Nick Fuentes and the Groyper movement. And it doesn't seem that they plan to stop. From my interaction with this gentleman and the way that the media has...
Which gentleman?
This Jewish gentleman at this Republican convention.
Right.
Yeah. And the way that the media has covered my comments in general and has continued to cover comments about Israel in general, it doesn't appear that that's slowing down. And it is going to become... It's becoming a dividing line for the midterms. Right. Because you see now an alliance growing where Marjorie Taylor Greene and Anna Kasparian, one of the more socialist populist or far left activists in the political commentary world, are finding agreement on Israel. Now, do I see their agreement as 100% genuine? No. And I do think that there is a movement on the left in American politics that seeks to undermine the legitimacy of Israel as a nation, so they can make the same claim about America as a nation. And there is a group of people on the left that say Israel is not legitimate as a nation because any nation that stands upon stolen land is illegitimate. And that without America's help, Israel wouldn't have been able to secure their current land. They make the same claim about America, that America sits upon stolen land, so therefore it's not a legitimate nation. It's not lost on me that a person like George Soros, who has a political organization that promotes open borders or a borderless society, would fund candidates or political propaganda that suggests that no nation that's ever been conquered is a legitimate nation because all nations have been conquered. If you make the claim that no nation that's ever been conquered or rest upon stolen land, conquered land, you need conquered land stolen from you. If you make that claim, there is no legitimate nation on this planet. What nation hasn't been conquered that's of any value, any resource, any strategic geopolitical location?
Power has always existed.
There you go. Okay, so if we're going to say that power categorically delegitimizes all nations, it becomes pretty clear what the agenda is.
So where does Israel sit in your position as the candidate for U.S. Senate in Minnesota?
I think it's unbelievable how gum dipped the Republican Party is about Israel.
Was gum dipped?
Like how? They're brainwashed.
Doing this alone.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, hey. I'm not a woman.
Hey, okay, cool. I don't care. Why do I care?
You guys just called me a woman, so I have
did?
To reassure you that
know.
You're talking to another man.
I didn't hear that. I didn't mean to do that. I'm not here to argue about gender. I'm here to argue about sin.
Sin? But you've switched up about 6 times since I've been over here.
No, you started talking about gender. I don't even care.
No. I've been over here about 20
minutes. I don't care what
minutes,
gender you are.
So you're going to let me speak.
I don't care what gender you are.
No, you're going to let me speak. You're not.
Why do I have to let you speak? What? You don't... Hey, don't... Come on. Hey, you just committed a crime.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. You just committed a crime, so...
So, you're going to let me speak?
No, I'm not.
I'll just keep unplugging.
No, I'm not.
Oh, are you scared of a woman?
No. Yeah, oh, now you're a woman.
Now
you're a woman.
I'm not a woman.
Are you a man or a woman? I'm confused.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host here for the 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. hour. Royce White in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's a great honor to be back. They can attack us all they want, but they can't keep us down. Right, Alex? It's beautiful. Such an honor to be back here on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there all across the country, all around the world. We wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for our mothers. A special thank you to the Holy Mother, Mother Mary, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just want to talk a little common sense here this Sunday. I'm so excited to be on the Alex Jones Network here this Sunday evening and going forward here. I'm glad we're back up and rolling. Thank you, Alex and the team, for having me. I really appreciate it. I just want to talk a little common sense. And the reason I showed the video there is because I think that's probably the most reasonable Israel talk there is out there, you know, and of course, PBS and the rest of the mainstream media is going to try and suppress that as best as they possibly can, which, you know, I mean, we don't even like reasonable talk anymore. I think, and this is what I wanted to say today. I think we have gotten to this point where we love the drama. We love the drama in the theater. We love to stay spun up in the chaos. There's a self-destructive component to American citizenship right now and American culture, the American spirit, but it's global. You know, that part is really global. There's a propensity towards self-destruction and even suicide. And I don't mean to be, you know, dark and gloomy here on a happy Mother's Day. It's a beautiful day here in the state of Minnesota, in the city of Minnesota, Minneapolis, but it is true. And it just becomes so clear. And I only say that as hopefully a source of optimism. We could actually fix this. This isn't beyond repair. I mean, not even in the least bit. This is not beyond repair. First things first, we got to stop voting in the people who caused the problem 95% of the time. 95% incumbent retention rate in the House and in the Senate. We know it's the bastion of the deep state. We got to stop doing that to start. I mean, just as an appetizer. Not even an appetizer, just you sit down here at dinner on a Sunday, Mother's Day Sunday, and they bring you the nice warm towels, you know, to refresh your hands if you go to a decent restaurant. That's first. Not voting in the incumbents 95% of the time. It's just getting my hands clean, okay, when I sit down to eat. And then as an appetizer, it's like we got to deport 15 to 20 million foreign invaders. And we just got to call them foreign invaders because that's what they are. And, you know, last in the short list, but certainly not least, we've got to come to grips with the fact, and this is a fact, that the American neoconservative Bush-era foreign policy Republicans are not the controlled opposition. And I know that's going to sound a little controversial. The entire left is the controlled opposition. It's right for us to have an argument about the proper use of our military and the proper priority and order of our foreign policy, which wars we should fight, which wars we shouldn't. Everybody knows where I stand on those issues. I support the president 1,000%, but I don't think that the order of things is proper right now.
I just don't think it's proper. But still, let's frame this the right way. The left is the controlled opposition. The left and the entire, you know, cultural wedge issue of cutting a man's penis off. That's why I played that clip in the cold open. Is a man's out there preaching the gospel on the street, on a street corner. And part of the gospel is men and women, you know, natural order, God, man, woman, child. And that's become bigoted. And we've kind of allowed that. Like we've kind of accepted that culturally. I don't even understand why we're having a debate with these people anymore. Honestly, I said it on my show yesterday morning, and I've been saying it the last couple of weeks. We should never give the government back to these people. Sure, we're going to have a fight on the right about the proper order of love, charity, and politics, but we should never, under any circumstances, give our government back to people who find it even remotely appropriate, let alone sane and liberating. For a grown adult male, healthy male with healthy reproductive organs to voluntarily cut off his penis for cosmetic purposes. What are we thinking? That's the controlled opposition. That is the controlled opposition on that side. Why on earth would we even consider it? We can't do it. We just can't do it. So we're going to have this fight on the right, and we have to have it. But here's a tell, and I wanted to say this evening. I've been thinking a lot about it. It's even the security of the elections, and we're hurling into the midterms now, and we still have yet to really secure these elections. And it's so interesting here in Minnesota, for example. I was at a Tea Party Patriots meeting the other day, and there was a U.S. Senate debate. And next Sunday, I'll bring you some good material from that debate. There's this classic moment where myself and a guy who's quote unquote leading the delegate race for the endorsement at the convention, which is only 2 weeks away, named Adam Schwarzer. You can go look him up yourself. Former Navy SEAL, former Marine. You know, they're running the same neocon sort of profile, neocon warfighter profile against me that they ran the last time, only younger. Problem with this guy is he's a pathological liar, and I called him dead to right and alive right in the middle of the debate. And I knew nobody in the room would know what I was saying and that he would lie, but that there's just some things you got to really appreciate and be grateful for. God bless video. Video doesn't lie, or very rarely. And now with AI, it's, you know, starting to tell us lies, but this ain't AI. So I ask him in the debate, and yeah, I just go off in the debate. I try and pull the Tea Party Patriots of Minnesota, pull them out of their gum-dipped mind state. And I just said, he has asked me a question about other countries, foreign countries, and if we're going to deport these foreign invaders, and if we're going to have a change of foreign policy around immigration, because I think we should have a 20-year moratorium on all immigration as an appetizer. And they said, well, are there any things that we could do to help these other countries not be so corrupt, crooked? And I said, you know, isn't it interesting that every time our CIA meddles in these elections anywhere in the world, there's always a communist despot that pops up and wins an election? I mean, is it a shock to anybody else? Because it certainly is to me. Why is it that every time our CIA or security state meddles in these elections anywhere else in the world, whether it be South America, Africa, whatever it is, they always end up with a communist leader? Could it be that the Central Intelligence Agency is a proto-communist organization ideologically? Could that be? And if that's the case, I just say we should get rid of the CIA. And I said that in the room, and of course they asked this guy, Adam, who's, you know, he's a Navy, you know, he's a SEAL. And they say, well, what do you think? What do you have to say about that, Adam? And he goes, oh, well, you know, the wins you don't see and the losses are publicized. You know, classic sort of shilling for the security state's corruption type of line. And I stop him and I go, Adam, didn't you work for the CIA? Didn't you work for the State Department? He said, no. I mean, just as clear as it gets. No, I didn't. I stop. I look. I go, Adam, you didn't work for the CIA and the State Department? You didn't have some dual clearance, a part of some Navy program where you did some work, some contract work for the State Department and the CIA? You never worked for the CIA? And he repeated. He said, no, I didn't. And it's just unbelievable. I go and find this interview because I'm pretty good. I got a strange memory. It's photographic. And I go to this video of him explaining why he had his Trident taken from the Navy. And lo and behold, he says right there, I mean, just straight up and down, I spent 2 years working at the CIA. And I only tell you this entire story because I need people to understand. Later on in the debate, the 2020 election would come up. And there's this crazy moment where I said to everybody there, I don't think President Trump should even give the government back. And they said, you know, the moderator, who I end up having a conversation with later, I actually think he's, you know, his head is on straight about a lot of things. But we'd certainly disagree about the 2020 election and the security of elections overall and the dire state of our union. But, you know, he asked me, he goes, well, what do you mean by that? Don't give the government back. What are you saying? Don't have an election? And I said, did we have an election in 2020? And he said, yeah, we did. And I stood up in the room. I said, there it is. And it's so indicative of the entire fight on the right, first of all, but the broader fight for this country's politics and future. But the fight on the right, all of these people who are, you know, adamantly in support of this war or the Bush era foreign policy, do not believe that the 2020 election was stolen. Or let's say a good chunk of them. And I bring this to you as a firsthand account and experience from being in that room with the Minnesota Tea Party Patriots. Okay, this is the Tea Party, right? And they did a straw poll at the end, and you know the count ended up being, you know, 39-59 with me and Schwarzy. He ended up winning the straw poll at the end of the night, which didn't surprise me because the woman who is, you know, the chair or running the Tea Party Patriots working on his campaign. So obviously the thing is cooked up and baked, bring his people to the event. Was an official Minnesota GOP or Republican Party, you know, event anyway. So, but there were a lot of delegates. And, you know, Michelle Tafoya got like 11 votes. This guy, young man named Mark York, who went to Harvard, you know, he's a smart young man. I kind of like him, to be honest, but he's a smart young Catholic kid. But, I don't know. When you go to Harvard, I just kind of have questions about you from the outset. That's just me. Anyway, you know, he got about 10 votes. So it's all in play. My point is there is a common denominator here. There's a theme. And I guess you got to be in the thing like I am. You got to be in connected to the thing. You got to be in the process. You got to be playing in the process to really see the theme. But the theme is we're not settled about the security of our elections. We're not even settled about that. I mean, go figure. We're hurling towards the most important midterm election in the history of human civilization. And we're not even organized about the security part of the elections. And if you dig deep enough, and here's what they do. And this is a tell. And you should go online and pick your favorite, pick your favorite pro-Iran war, Bush era conservative, and just ask them a few litmus questions. And if you get the distinct privilege to get a response, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Here's one of the classic bait and switch moves. They say, and some of them will say the elections aren't secure in public on paper. But, you know, if you dig a little deeper, you'll find the real deal. They tell us that the elections aren't secure. They're still not secure to this day, and they haven't been secure for a long time. They may even say the 2020 election wasn't secure or stolen. But then they create election strategy based on previously stolen elections. And I'm a great example of this, and I hate to, you know, use my own race and my own candidacy as an example. And I even feel a little shame coming here on Sunday nights and talking about my own campaign at all because I have sacred honor. And my opponents aren't here to talk for themselves or defend themselves, although I would love to have them on if they're game. I talk to anybody on Sunday. I don't see too many debates. I don't know why. I just don't run into many folks who are willing to do it. And I take that as a compliment in some respects. But if you ask people about the these Bush era neocons about the 2020 election, they will shill for strategy based on previously stolen or unsecure elections. And they do it to me in Minnesota. The Republican establishment continues to go back to, you lost in 2024. You lost in 2024. You lost in 2024. Now, why would we pick you as a candidate again? You lost in 2024. You only got 40% against Amy Klobuchar, which was an improvement percentage-wise. But why do we even regard the results of the 2024 election as legitimate, especially in Minnesota? I mean, these are the kind of things that undermine the message when we're trying to reach people across the aisle, or maybe who aren't a part of the political process at all. Maybe they're not even involved. And I get that often. I run into people all the time who may know me from an Alex Jones show or Steve Bannon, the War Room, my own podcast. Maybe they know me from sports, whatever the case may be. I run into people all the time who say, man, I you were one of the first people I've ever voted for. So there are people out there who have political opinions, who are passionate about certain issues, who don't even vote yet. And we're trying to reach them too. We're trying to reach everybody we possibly can, but we're trying to reach them too. And it undermines the message if we're supposed to unify, you know, in this Republican coalition, and we're not even sorted out about the fundamentals. Are our elections secure or not? Have our elections been secure or not? And does that include the 2024 election? If it does include the 2024 election, why do all these Bush-era Republicans and conservatives use the result of the 2024 election to try and delegitimize my candidacy now? Oh, I'm sorry. Negroes aren't supposed to be that logical. Negroes aren't supposed to think that critical. I mean, I forgot they didn't have language in sub-Saharan Africa before the Europeans showed up. So I probably should. Or maybe it's my Norwegian heritage. Oh, no, hey, maybe my Mexican grandmother is responsible for that logical sequence of thought there. Either way, I know this. Regardless of race, religion, or creed, I know one thing for sure and two things for certain, as they used to say in the neighborhood. Amy Klobuchar is a corrupt, lying, communist scumbag, and she's got more AIPAC money than she knows what to do with. And now she's running for governor, as if her U.S. Senate career wasn't despicable and shameful enough. Now she's running for the governor of our state, and all these leftists are going to pretend that it's even remotely logical, even remotely consistent. Philosophically, politically, socially, to decry what happened in Palestine, scream free Palestine, and then vote for one of the most well-funded AIPAC politicians in the history of America. And we're thinking about giving these people the government back? They're not playing by the rules. They're not even, and you know, of course they can't follow that logic train. You know, if a young girl, she's 13 years old, she cuts herself. Back in the 90s, there was, you know, a unicorn in every school. There was a young girl that, you know, cut herself. And we all regarded that as mental illness, rightfully so. We had to watch her and get her some help. And some of those young girls survived. Actually, a decent amount of those young girls who were afflicted with that survived. Some of them didn't, and that's tragic. But we all regarded it as mental illness. We'll be right back in a brief moment.
To get more people hired, we have to finish the new big studios, we have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds, he says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, in the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Network here on Sunday evening in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your guest host, Royce White. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Happy Mother's Day. It's a beautiful Sunday here in Minneapolis. Okay. In the beautiful state of Minnesota, Minneapolis, beautiful spring day. And my thoughts about this stuff are just clear as ever. I know it's controversial. Royce, what do you mean, never give the government back? What are you saying? Is this insurrection? No, it's not. No, it's not. You don't give your nation to people who have tried to normalize a man cutting his penis off for cosmetic purposes as anything other than insane. You just don't give your government to people like that. And I don't even know how like I was saying earlier, I think it's kind of sadomasochistic that we've even tolerated it this long. We've put up with this. We've had this debate back and forth. And look, I like Matt Walsh, and people have done a great job to try and point out the absurdity of a lot of this transmania, right? My only point is, what are we even arguing about? Honestly, what are we even saying? What is this all? What is this debate? There's no debate. There is no debate about it. Like I was saying before the break, it used to be when I was growing up in the 90s, if a young teenage girl, you know, cut herself, it was regarded as mental illness, and rightfully so. And you had to keep a close eye on those ones because, you know, some of them made it, some of them survived, some of them didn't. And again, that's really tragic. I'm not poking fun at people who have severe mental illness and deal with that type of, you know, that type of stuff. But we all regarded it as mental illness. If a young teenage girl cutting herself is mental illness, how is a grown adult male cutting off his own penis not mental illness? And see, I say it, and we kind of get this, we've gotten to this place culturally where we're like, and I used to be in this camp where like, oh, I don't need to talk about the transgender stuff anymore. We've already went over that. And the more and more I'm thinking about it, the more I see the convolution of political issues across this panoply of problems, foreign policy and monetary policy and trade policy and, you know, the WEF and AI and all this other stuff. You know, it's very, not as complex as we make it, but it's got a little complexity to it. Sorry, we are in an AI arms race. It's like, do we pursue artificial intelligence supremacy, or do we go and attack the Chinese right now and make sure they never have the infrastructure to beat us to the punch? I don't know. That's a decision above my pay grade. I'm just thinking out loud here. But what I can say is, if we go down to the most basic level, it's like, what should a society be based on? Number one, reality. Number two, the best formulation of truth you can possibly have. Number three, freedom. Reality, truth, freedom. These are the three pillars that a society should be based on. And our U.S. Senator, Amy Klobuchar, and you know, favorite to become governor in 2026, really does support the idea that a man, a grown man, cutting off his own penis for cosmetic purposes is anything other than crazy. She really believes that's a form of health care and liberation. And we're going to debate these people? Even if it's the case that some majority of the American people, some 50 plus one majority of the American people believe the same thing, that's just a sign that we've been psyoped. I asked this question the other day on my podcast. Let's say 80%, because, you know, I'm a populist. I'm a nationalist populist, Christo-nationalist populist, Catholic Christo-nationalist populist. Let's get granular about it. You see my St. Michael pendant here on my necklace that was given to me by a dear loved one. But there are problems with populism too. And one of the issues with populism, at least theoretically, is we even seem to regard the, you know, the will of the people, vox populi, vox dei, the will of the people as always being righteous. And that is not the truth, which does put us in quite a quandary. It's like, we know that the populist movement is the beating heart of moving in the right direction in this country, at least when it comes to politics. But what if it's the case that we've been outflanked by the security state and the CIA and all these other psyops and brainwashing propagandas that have been waged against us in the information war, aptly named by the great Alex Jones himself? What if it is the case that it's worked? And over 60% of the American people believe that we should be the only nation in the world with no borders. And they also support the idea that a grown adult male could cut his penis off and it not be crazy. What if that's the case? Is it still not incumbent upon patriots and the president of the United States to fight to keep the republic in reality, truth, and freedom? I don't know. It's a question that we're going to have to answer, but we are damn sure going to have to answer it now. There's no dancing around it anymore. You know, we're to the tough questions and tough answers part now, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm just a realist. When I look at the internet, when I go out in public, when I even end up at some of these Republican Party events and these gum dipped Republicans, and they are, they're just super gum-dipped about everything. Oh, are you electable? Can you win? How are you going to win? Shut your fucking mouth. How am I going to win? I'm going to win when President Trump federalizes these damn elections, or hell, federalizes the state. Then he can just appoint me as U.S. Senator and Mike Lindell as governor. Do that. What, are we afraid? Are we afraid of what the communists are going to think? Mark Levin? You know, you talk about transgenders and jihadism and Marxism as a sort of academic philosophy. I live here in the belly of the beast, Mark. I'm surrounded by transgender, jihad, communists. And, oh, by the way, it seems to be your proto-Iran, Bush-era foreign policy Republicans that are in lockstep with them, not only on gun legislation, not only on security of elections, you know, but also just the idea of electability. It's like, how do we square the circle that any concession to the center, any concession to the left is anything other than radically insane? Absolutely insane. A grown man, a healthy adult male with healthy reproductive organs is going to mutilate and maim himself, castrate himself, literally castrate himself because he's feeling a little feminine. No, dude, you're just gay. And sorry to tell you, being gay is not a thing that you're born. It's a curiosity of sin. And guess what? You can overcome it. You can overcome it. You can pray. You can repent. You can be forgiven for homosexual acts. You can overcome it. But under no circumstances can you ever overcome cutting off your own penis. That is crazy. What in the world are we even talking? I'm like, again, I said it the other day on my morning show, I'm like Mugatu in Zoolander. I think I've said it on this show before, too. It's like I'm taking crazy pills. Blue Steel, La Tigra, it's all the same look. Doesn't anybody else recognize that? It's all the same look. When you get through all of the esoteric jargon about foreign policy, you know, American patriots and Christians and citizens, God bless us, we have to just get back to the basics, the fundamentals. We can't give our country to people. We can't give our schools. We can't give our government. We can't give our military. We can't give our food supply. We can't give our electrical power grid. We can't give this new dystopian and digital prison to people who believe cutting your own penis off for cosmetic purposes is anything other than crazy. We cannot do it. There is no sensible justification to do such a thing, Mr. President. And see, and I said this to somebody the other day. I said, hey, if you people are dumb enough, if you're dumb enough to run a war fighter during one of the most unpopular wars in the history of our country, all you're saying is you like losing, you're sadomasochistic, and you want to become the slave, prisoner, or maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe the sexual experiment of a bunch of transgender jihadists. And I do think there is a sort of homoerotic undertone in this conservative movement. I will say it. Let me be the first one to say the quiet part out loud. I look at Fox News and I just go right down the list. And I use this as a metaphor. There's not really a list here. I don't even know what is. Oh, this is some of the 2021 National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. I still have that on my desk here because it might be one of the single most important documents in the history of our nation. National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. Christians, election deniers, and the unvaccinated. I check all three. I'm a terrorist. This isn't a real list, but it just, you know, figuratively speaking, if I go down the list of men on Fox News, I can't tell you how many strike me as, you know, flaming homosexuals. You guys tell me in the audience. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I've been called crazy before. It's certainly possible. I'm not saying that it's not possible. It's possible that I'm crazy, but I just think, you know, that Greg Gutfeld's a little swishy. You know, what's the black guy's name? Jones, Lawrence Jones, I think his name is. He's super effeminate. Sean Hannity, he's like, you know, gay, I think. Who, Brett Baier? I mean, he's got more Botox going than your average, you know, suburban housewife. Just go on down the list. Jesse Waters, all right, yeah, you know, but yeah, it, yeah, I don't know, right? We don't know. And the scary part is the grittiest guy, maybe the grittiest guy on Fox News is Mark Levin, which is not a compliment. It's an indictment that the sort of most rugged guy on the network is, you know, is a radical Zionist, I don't even know, traitor. put it mildly, he's a radical Zionist traitor. But, I mean, he's kind of like the most, the toughest guy that they got. And all of the women are super masculine. Laura Ingraham, Baratamo, how do you say her name? Baratamo, or I don't even know because I don't watch Fox News. But I know the characters. I know the cast. What's her name? Even the black. They're all masculine is the point. They're all super masculine. And it's just like we have the same gender bender issue on the conservative right as we do on the left. The only difference is they don't have a thin veil of, they don't have a thin veil of tradition covering it up. And you all know what I'm saying is true. Fox News is a bunch of squishy, light in the loafers, effeminate dudes that aren't real dudes. They're not dudes. They're not hitters. They're not emblematic of American machismo or masculinity. They're not alphas. They're not alphas. They're capitulators. They're collaborators. They're soft. They talk about electability. I just want to be the first one to say on the record as the first United States Senate nominee born in the 1990s, first of my generation, I just want to be the first to say I would surely like to see a stop messing around. I believe in elections. I think we should have them. I think they should be secure. I don't think they're secure. I don't even think they're close to being secure. In fact, I do think the 2020 election was stolen. I do think it's a good litmus question for people. Because if you're not even willing to acknowledge that the elections aren't secure and that something odd happened, I remember watching it. Hey, after I organized this peaceful demonstration in George Floyd, I was kind of apolitical. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Bring these black folks to the Fed. Stop saying black trans lives matter. Don't use George Floyd's death to push other politics. Let's talk about how the money works. And then I watched January 6th, and I'm thinking to myself, well, these people look like they're serious, and I like that. I like that they're serious. Do I agree with everything that went on that day? Were they suckered into something they shouldn't have? Okay, we can circle the wagons on all the details. The point is, they showed up to the doorstep of power and said, we demand that our elections are real elections. And they're right to do that. And the American people as a whole are right to do it. It's actually kind of an indictment on the rest of us that we're not pissed off our elections aren't secure. And on both sides of the aisle. Because when President Trump won in 2024, there are a ton of Democrats that made the same claim. Ah, well, he stole the election. Oh, Elon helped him. You know, okay, well, basically you're saying you think the elections are corruptible. So why aren't you outraged? Why aren't we demanding that the United States Senate on both sides of the aisle take the necessary measures to secure the elections once and for all? I kind of looked at 2020, the election ended up being a litmus test in my own head. Just the logic train is like, okay, wait a minute. President Trump had a 99% probability to win four swing states when the polls closed, and he lost all four of them? Just astronomically improbable. Improbable. But, I mean, why do we even have to talk about the nuance and details, the sort of esoteric nature of election security and probabilities? What is the probability? What is the probability that a species as blessed, as fortunate as we are, a species as fortunate as we are, what is the probability that in our timeline dudes would start cutting off their own penises and calling it healthcare. Let's talk about that probability. I think the probability is better that the elections are secure, actually, in the grand scheme of things. And there's zero chance that our elections are secure, but there's got to be some negative quantity. There's got to be some negative, measure to the probability of what we've done with this transgender thing. It's absolutely insane. And we want to argue. I think we're more interested in the romantic nature of intellectual highbrow debate than we are just keeping this republic. Maybe I'm crazy. Will you focus this camera for me, this wide one? It's a little blurry. Maybe I'm crazy. It's possible, this one. Maybe I'm a little crazy. It's possible. It is quite possible that I'm crazy. But you tell me in the audience, have I said something crazy other than we shouldn't give them the government back? See, it's interesting because you can disagree with President Trump's choices on a number of issues, and I certainly do. But I do recognize that we find ourselves in a time crunch. Because I honestly don't. I mean, do you think we'll ever have a secure election again in this country if we give this government back to these people? Even worse still, they handpick the few individuals that have the greatest chance to mobilize a political movement against the powers that be. They handpick, they're very strategic in who they select to bring the lawfare down on. Like Alex Jones, Mr. President, with all due respect, like Alex Jones, or yourself, or maybe me, I'll be next. It's already breaking out here in Minnesota. You know, 50-year-old OFP, my ex-wife, not a single arrest or you know, even a police report of violence. Are you kidding me? No, it's because I'm a Trumpian Republican, as the Minnesota Star Tribune described me, and I wear it as a badge of honor. As much as I may disagree with the president on some things, to be called a Trumpian Republican is only saying that you actually threaten the status quo. And amen. Praise be to God. I'm blessed to be able to do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my eyesight and my hearing and my ability to touch and taste. And thank you for the senses. Thank you for a healthy heart. So far as I know, thank you for everything that you've given me. The courage to stand up and just challenge the status quo at the drop of a dime. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. But the lawfare will be against me too. And even worse than, you know, just the tyranny being overt in this next chapter is that they selectively go through and pluck out all the real patriots. And then we all go on and find some justification why we, you know, let it happen. It's like, oh, it's Alex Jones. He said that dumb thing about Sandy Hook. That's why he's being treated unjustly. Oh, it's President Trump. You know, he's found liable for rape. He's a rapist. And that's why, you know, they're going to arrest him or impeach him or they're going to kill him or whatever the case may be. That's why. No, and Royce, I mean, he was just bootlicking for the white supremacists, the Nazis, like Alex Jones and President Trump and all the other Republicans and any white person who isn't Democrat, really. Effectively, white supremacy is now defined as any white person who isn't a Democrat. Aren't you guys tired of this? Can we just have some real motion? Can we just have some real movement in this country? Can we stop spinning, you know, in the toilet bowl waiting to be flushed like a turd? Aren't you sick of this shit? I am sick of this shit. 35 years, all I hear is the same bullshit. They're going to win the midterm. They're going to take this many seats. How are we going to? And yes, the redistricting thing, and any governor that doesn't enlist in the redistricting war should be primaried. They should be disgraced. They should be out of the party. We should send them on over, Red Rover, with the Democrats for sure. But I don't even want to talk about that. I'm just like, come on, dude, let's do it. Let's go. Let's go get the Joint Chiefs together, get the heads of all the intelligence agencies together, get the military generals all together, have a convention of the minds there in D.C. And let's just find out where everybody is. Call Eric Prince and the boys and say, hey, we might need some real top level security, because you never know what spooky rogue analog of our intelligence community wants to blow a president's head off on a given day and have the balls to try it too, by the way. It's out of control. But let's just get everybody on the record. Who thinks that a nation that actually wants to be a nation could ever tolerate the insanity that a grown man cuts off his own penis? And I'm not saying that you arrest all the military generals or the intelligence community officials, or any of these other people who agree with that. I'm just saying you strip them of their clearance. You fire them. You get them out of there. You don't round them up and kill them. That's what Mao did. And the opposite, he took on the people. He went and killed the people who were rational. He took on the people who were loyalist to the communist ideology and the communist philosophy. So you do the opposite, because we're in an existential asymmetrical war with our national mortal enemy. You do the opposite. You get everybody together and you get their ideas down on the record, and you say, you know what? We're not going to round you guys up and kill you, but we're not going to let you have power over this country, because we're done watching this country rapidly decline. Is that crazy? Somebody in the audience, please tell me. Maybe I am losing my shit, but I tend to think a man who cuts his own penis off for cosmetic purposes is crazy. And I'm not really willing to have a back and forth debate with anybody on the left or anybody in the center right who says anything otherwise. I can draw a distinct line around reality, truth, and freedom. And that's exactly what we have to get back to in this movement and in this country. The basic pillars of having a society: reality, truth, freedom. You're watching the Alex Jones Network here on Sunday night. I'm your guest host, Royce White. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after break.
We feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship, Ben. I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show. that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny, or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.